The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. We've got a good crew today, so we're going to kick it off with Josh Lee, Extension Cotton Specialist.
Jacob Sizemore, graduate student in Biosystems Engineering.
Chandler Gruner, Extension Soil Health Specialist with Auburn University Alabama Cooperative Extension Service.
Laura Bell Cooley with the Auburn University Water Resources Center.
And Brian Mitten with the Alabama Office of the State Climatologist.
Sounds good. Let's get us started here on the episode. So what exactly is the Alabama Drought Reach? I know why you guys have you on there, and we're going to talk about the Drought Reach and CMORs and stuff like that. So for our listeners to kind of know kind of some of the stuff we're going to talk about today. But starting with the first question, what exactly is the Drought Reach program and how is it started?
Sure. Well, Brian, I can tag team this, I guess. The Alabama Drought Reach Program is run out of the Auburn University Water Resources Center, and it's an extension program, across the state that with the goal of improving drought literacy and, you know, kind of monitoring agricultural drought impact and really doing education and outreach to improve drought literacy for, you know, both extension, but also for the general public. So some of the basic tenets of the program, we run a survey that's used by extension personnel, and they do on the ground drought reports, and that helps increase the accuracy of our drought maps. I also do kind of education and outreach for different groups that are interested in drought. And then we also work closely with the state climatologists, providing information for them. So that's kind of the summary of the Drought Reach program. It was started back in May of 2023. And Bree, you were around for, I think, the beginning of that program. If you want to talk a little bit about how it was formed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Laura said, it started in May of 2023, but it was an idea and a concept for a few years even before then. And the idea really came together when folks at the Alabama Office of the State Climatologist and folks at the Auburn Water Resources Center and Alabama Extension started talking about how the Climate Office does drought research. They give input to the U.S. Drought Monitor every week, and they needed more on-the-ground data to fill in some of the data gaps they had with observational data sets. And that's a great way for Extension to get involved. So those conversations were in the works for a few years. And then, of course, as we all know, you just wait for funding to fill in that opportunity, and that finally happened in 2023. And so I was the first coordinator for Alabama Drought Reach, and then I was very happy to pass it over to Laura, who is doing an excellent job keeping the program alive and well.
Yeah, and well, it's still learning from Bree, but you know, one way I think that, you know, Bree just kind of summarized everything, but the ADR program really kind of acts as a liaison now between Extension and the state climatologist office. So that's really its role.
I gotcha. So we used a good many of terms here. What can you tell me what drought literacy means? And is this something that I have to study up for, you know, as I'm about to take a quiz on it? Can you go a little bit more into detail for me?
You should definitely study up.
All right.
Well, I think of, you know, you can think of drought literacy in a variety of ways, but the way I think about it is kind of improving a general awareness across the state, whether it's, you know, general, whether it's farmers, producers, or just your kind of average citizen, helping make them aware of different weather conditions, how drought forms and also its impacts, whether it's on, you know, the water resources, whether it's on agricultural output, just kind of improving awareness and making people pay more attention to how those weather systems impact, you know, not only agriculture, but also themselves. And then thinking about ways that they can take action, you know, for however drought is impacting them in their lives, steps that they could take to kind of mitigate those drought impacts.
Okay. So when I'm thinking about it, you know, a lot of times if you're watching the local weather forecast, they always talk about the drought map. They'll throw up the state of Alabama and they'll look at, you know, areas of drought. But I've got two questions for this. Number one, where are we at in terms of drought across the state right now? Because I've heard a lot of stuff. It's pretty dry. Now, we did get some rain these past few days, but what are overall, what are we seeing right now?
Well, I'll start with this, but I can kick this to Bree as well. So currently, I mean, we're in various stages of drought across the state. In Lee County, here we are in, you know, D3, I think, extreme drought, and in Macon County nearby. But there's kind of various stages across the state. Right now, the South, it seems like the Southeast is really in a drought, you know, long-term drought condition. But you can always go to the state climatologist's office, their website. They now have a way that you can download the U.S. Drought Monitor drought map, which is updated each week. So you can go to their you know, office website, and you can kind of keep tabs on those changes at a weekly scale. You can also go to the U.S. Drought Monitor and search for Alabama, and you can see a range of charts and maps there if you really want to keep up to date with what's going on. But Bree, yeah, do you want to add anything about, because your office is the one that really puts that data together. So you tell us what's going on.
Yeah, thanks for that amazing plug for our new website. We're very excited to launch that. We are working to increase our communication efforts across the board. So we do have a new website, and we have an Instagram now as well. That's AL_stateclimatologist. But yeah, so the U.S. Drought Monitor is produced every week here in the Southeast. It comes out at 7:30 a.m. Central on Thursday mornings, and it looks at present conditions of drought across the nation and its territories. So it doesn't include any forecast information. It's simply looking at what the current drought conditions are with the last 7 days of precipitation, temperature, soil moisture, stream flow, a ton of different data metrics. You did a really great job summarizing what we're currently experiencing. We've been in and out of various levels of drought for well over 6 months now. This past year, 2025, has been really interesting because we started out the year coming off of a drought from 2024, and then we had some rainfall. Then we actually had the wettest May on record for Alabama since 1895, which pretty much cleared out drought from the entire state around June. But then as you started to creep into those higher temperatures and into those longer days where we expect to see drought, it came back and it hit hard. And then right at the end of the summer, we just went right back into the drought conditions that we started the year in. And now we are seeing the most drought in Southeast Alabama. It really runs the gamut from moderate to severe to, like Laura said, extreme drought in some areas. North Alabama has been in and out of drought. It kind of gets a little bit of rainfall, and it sees a little bit of reprieve, and then we miss a week of rain and that drought just comes right back in. So, I mean, speaking here on an agricultural podcast, I mean, it's not news to anybody here that rainfall varies a lot week to week, but also across the state. So, I mean, we're in, we have over half of the state in drought right now, but I mean, if you gave us a few weeks of really decent beneficial rainfall, we could see improvements. If we have a few more weeks of little to no rainfall, it could stagnate, it could get worse. So it's really hard to properly manage and forecast what those conditions might be in the future.
So you've been mentioning like this website and different things. And so how is that connected to the CMOR? Is this the same thing as the CMOR? So I know some producers may have heard of the CMOR reports or been connected back to that. Just kind of clarifies some of the connection there.
Well, hold on, Chandler. I want to make sure what the world is a CMOR report. Can someone explain that to me real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. I can kick this one off and then awesome. Hand it over to you, Laura. A CMOR report, a CMOR stands for Condition Monitoring Observer Reports. It was created by a few different folks, mainly the National Drought Mitigation Center out of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I believe they worked maybe with the NOAA NIDAS program as well, which is their drought program. I can't quite remember if that's correct or not. But CMOR is a public tool that anybody is free to use. It's a citizen science program. And you can Google CMOR reports, CMOR reports, and it'll take you to a website to report drought conditions on your property. And so that's, you know, what in the world is a CMOR report? That's what that is. It does interact with the U.S. Drought Monitor insofar as the folks who create the U.S. Drought Monitor map every week can see the reports that you put on CMOR, because those are all public reports, and they help authors who create the U.S. Drought Monitor map to get a better picture of hyper-localized conditions. So not only what's happening in Lee County, for example, but what's specifically happening on this person's farm in Lee County. Laura, do you want to add anything about what CMOR is?
I think that's a good summary. There's also a link to the CMOR survey if you go to the Alabama Drought Reach website. There's a link at the top of our website that'll take you right to the CMOR reporting page. So that's kind of an easy find. I think Bree did a great job summarizing. I will just add that anybody can submit these reports. We encourage, you know, whether you're a farmer or just a landowner, somebody who's interested in helping monitor drought, this is something that people can do that has a big impact, and it's available to anybody. You just have to be over 18, and it's pretty easy to find, and it probably takes you less than 5 minutes. So
yeah, I'd say less than 5 minutes. And I'm sure you guys have more questions about CMOR too, but I think for us at the climate office, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that any report is a good report. So even if you're not experiencing drought, if you can still submit a regular report letting us know on a weekly, biweekly, monthly scale what your conditions are, that helps us at the climate office to see a baseline of conditions over time on your property. So there's a really cool difference between what we call impact reporting and condition reporting, both of which can be done on CMOR by anybody. An impact report is when you report drought conditions as they are presently happening. And those are really useful because it helps us to see where the greatest severity is in the state as it is currently happening on the ground. But then you can also report regularly. So like I said, on a biweekly or a monthly schedule, and that creates a condition report where you're telling me it's dry this week, it's wet this week, it's normal this week. And then if you report regularly for months or years, then it gives us information over time that we can compare to. So if I were to report every week, let's say for 3 years, and then I submit a report one fall and I say the stock pond on my farm has the lowest levels it has seen in the last 3 years. Well, I've been reporting with CMOR now for 3 years. So the folks at the state climatology office can actually look at the last 3 years of my reports, look at old pictures, look at old data sets, and can actually confirm, yes, since Brianne has started reporting, this is the lowest her pond has ever been on her farm. So it's really awesome that the Alabama citizen group can just interact with science in that way and can communicate with us in that way via CMOR.
So it sounds like a great way we can get interactions and stuff like that. And you mentioned the pond. What other matrix, like, so an ordinary person like me, like I've never done one before and I wanted to get involved with this. Sounds like on a weekly basis would be good. What kind of data is needed? Like, do I take photos? Do I need to have a ruler with me? What do I need to do?
There is a lot of information that's jam-packed into the CMOR report when you first open it up. And when Laura and I share with folks how to submit a CMOR report, the first thing that we always talk about is the fact that it may look overwhelming because there's a lot of opportunities for you to fill in information, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming. And the only required thing that we ask of you on the report is to simply tell us where you live. So the county that you live in, not your, you know, it'll tell you the county that you live in, and then it'll ask you how dry or how wet your current conditions are. You can answer that question alone and you can click submit and you can be done for the day. And that alone gives us really good information. But I will say from the point of view of the Alabama Climate Office, it is really helpful for us if you can submit photos as well. Photo really does speak 1,000 words. And to be able to read a report that says stock pond levels are low or hay is dry, tree stands are dying, and then to have a picture accompany that gives that visual proof, that not only helps us build a better narrative of what is occurring with drought, but it also serves as proof that we can send to folks at the U.S. Drought Monitor when we're saying, hey, you know, this county really should be in a different designation. Here's some photos. Here's some impact evidence of what we're seeing in those areas. But you can report anything from row crop impacts, livestock, home and gardening. Actually, the Alabama Drought Reach Program worked with Alabama Extension last year to create a home and garden section on CMOR, which is used nationally by everybody. So that was a really awesome thing that we got to do with the Drought Reach Program last year. but anyone from a farmer to a homeowner to, you know, even somebody at TVA, right, from Tennessee Valley Authority, even they could submit a report talking about reservoir levels. It really runs the gamut, and it's really a fascinating data set for us to use. Laura, any other thoughts on that?
I think you did a wonderful job summarizing that. I will just take this time, though, to kind of clarify one little difference between DroughtReach and CMOR. So DroughtReach, I think, like I mentioned earlier, also has a survey, and we work closely with extension agents. So specifically for, you know, members who work within Alabama Extension, they also can submit drought reports through our ADR survey. And, you know, it's kind of similar to CMOR, but in some ways we hope it even has kind of tighter quality control. And we're hoping that, you know, by working directly with extension agents, we're, as Bree was noting, we're really building up that repetitive data set that is really valuable to the climatology office. So, you know, that's one kind of benefit of working with the DroughtReach program, but it is separate from CMOR. But if you go to our ADR website, we have, you know, links to CMOR for the general public as well. So just wanted to kind of point that out, but both are really getting at the same goal of having more consistent and accurate drought reporting.
Okay, so it sounds pretty simple. You know, y'all worried me about this long report. I thought I was going to be here for a while, but it seems like if I can just go in there, submit a picture, can I also submit data if I got a rain gauge out on my fence or whatever, if I'm just sort of taking water? Do you think that's something that's beneficial?
Well, what do you think, Bree? I know that your office really utilizes some rain gauge data.
Yes, we do. Rain gauge data is fabulous. If you have that information, you are more than welcome to put it on your CMOR report. Off the top of my head, I can't really think if there's a good place to necessarily put a rain gauge data, but you can always email that directly to the Alabama Climate Office at aosd@uah.edu. You can also find our email on our website too. We love rain gauge data because precipitation data is first and foremost the main data set that we look at every week when determining drought conditions. And precipitation data is really useful. It comes from stations, it comes from radar, it comes from satellites, but a lot of the times these data sets can be aggregated to a larger scale. So it can be really hard to truly understand what's going on at a hyper local scale. So, you know, it might be raining on my property, but 2 miles away, it's bone dry. And that kind of information gets washed out in some of the empirical observational data sets that we have. So if you have rain gauge data and you want to include that in CMOR or you want to email that to us, that really does help us define those lines. If you don't currently have a rain gauge, I would highly encourage you to look at COCORAHS, COCORAHS. That's the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. That is another citizen science program very similar to CMOR, but instead of reporting drought conditions, you report daily rainfall totals. So you buy a low-cost rain gauge from them. I think it's about $40 or $50. You set it up in your yard or on your property, and then every day to the best of your ability, you open their app on the phone or on their computer, and you just simply put in that you observed 0 inches of rain today or 1.2 inches of rain today. That is a program that's used nationwide, and we use it every week. So if you don't currently have a rain gauge and you're open to, you know, submitting daily rainfall totals, I would highly encourage you to use a rain gauge through COCORAHS.
And to just add on to that, the DroughtReach program is hoping to put some initiatives into place this upcoming year to help get those rain gauges out more across the state. So we kind of have some plans in place. So just stay tuned and try to follow ADR to kind of see if there's an opportunity for you to get a rain gauge.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I mean, I would imagine the more resolution you have, the finer your data set and kind of better reporting you can have. But talking about reporting, why is it that more people don't report with CMOR? Is it just kind of a time issue, awareness? Are they afraid of the report document? What's kind of the barrier there?
I'll take a first stab at it and then pass it to Bree. But I think part of it, it goes back to this drought literacy concept that we were talking about earlier. I think a lot of people either don't know when we're in drought or don't, you know, think about drought in the ways that it directly impacts them. So I think for a lot of people, they don't see it as a priority, or they think about it as maybe someone else's responsibility. So I think improving the drought literacy concept could really help people engage more with it. But I think there's also that intimidation factor, you know, oh, do I know anything about drought? Am I going to, you know, encounter some tough questions? So those could all be reasons. But, you know, I'm hoping that between some of the work that we're doing and Bree's doing, that people will really start to see that, you know, this kind of drought reporting can, you know, really be beneficial, and it's really accessible as well.
What do you think? I think you really hit the nail on the head there when you talked about increasing drought literacy. I think the biggest reason people aren't reporting more is that they simply just don't know it exists. It is a really great tool, and thousands of people use it across the nation. But even when you compare it to just the overall population of the U.S., it's a very small fraction of folks who are actually utilizing it and who know that it exists. So I think us being able to talk about it here on this podcast should hopefully be able to increase the numbers alone just by, you know, speaking about it and giving resources about it.
So Bree and Laura, do y'all work any with crop insurance agencies at all when we're talking about drought and all this kind of stuff? You know, if I'm a grower and I've come into a dry spell, is, you know, I want to document it, want to say, hey, you know, this is where I robbed yield. You know, we were at peak bloom. I had a 3-week drought stress period, and this is why it looks like XYZ versus a farmer that didn't document anything. You know, can you tell anything about that or any relationships that y'all have with those kind of folks?
Well, I'm still in the process of kind of learning more about some of those, the details of some of those insurance, you know, related policies. But we do, so at least from the ADR perspective, the drought reach perspective, I do often work with extension agents who are, you know, working with FSA, getting requests to kind of provide information about the drought conditions for the, you know, the past growing year, and to, you know, provide kind of detailed information about how that's impacted, you know, crops. So I often work with them to put together reports to aggregate the data from the U.S. Drought Monitor by at the county level to help them understand, you know, what has drought looked like in this county over the past year. And, you know, then they can take that back to the FSA offices and have a more detailed conversation. But Bree, maybe you can talk more specifically about the role that the, you know, the drought maps play in kind of activating different levels of, you know, compensation availability.
Yeah, we don't work directly with the insurance folks per se, like the folks at FSA, but we do work, I don't know, tangentially to them, because we give input every week to the U.S. Drought Monitor. And the U.S. Drought Monitor does open key funding for one specific program, which is the Livestock Forage Assistance Program, or LFP, under FSA. And that program is totally based off of your county, any part of your county, being within certain drought designations for a certain number of weeks. And we're very aware of that here at the Climate Office. And so it is definitely a balancing act between being true to the data and to how current conditions compare to normal conditions over the past 30 years, but then also recognizing that drought has a very severe economic impact to our farmers, who we greatly support here at the office. So we're always balancing between, what is that level of severity? What are the impacts that we're seeing from the agricultural sector, so we can make the map as accurate as possible, because we know it affects funding like the LFP program.
Which is another great plug for why, you know, submitting those CMOR reports, or if you're in extension, you know, submitting your ADR reports is really, really useful.
Absolutely. In
improving drought literacy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm learning over here.
So as we're talking about drought literacy, is there like events or something that people can go to, like an in-person, or is there publications available or something they can read up a little bit about it? So if they heard this podcast and they want to read a little bit more on it, or they want to come to an event in person, do they exist, or what are ways people can get a little more educated on it?
Well, they can definitely visit the Alabama Extension website. We and Bree did a lot of these. We have a lot of drought resources there. If you want to just learn about the basics of drought, if you want to learn a little bit more about the relationship between, you know, the drought reports and how that impacts insurance, there's some articles there as well. So of course, just go explore the Extension website. In terms of events, I'm in the process of working with different Extension agents across the state, and I'll be doing some speaking events. So you can kind of just stay tuned throughout the year to see what goes on. But hopefully there'll be some opportunities for people to attend some of those, you know, if they're nearby. But of course, they can always get in touch with, you know, me or maybe Bree at the climate office, you know, if they have specific questions related to drought or drought reporting.
Yeah, we always are open to questions here at the climate office, and we don't currently host, you know, any kind of regular event. We're trying to work on expanding our communication, so maybe that's something that could be down the line for us. But we do have a weekly update on our climate office website, which talks about the current drought conditions, what's changed from the week prior. It even talks about what percentage of the state is covered by each drought category. And it includes also some useful links to folks like Alabama Drought Reach or NOAA NIDIS, which is the National Integrated Drought Information System, where folks can get a ton of information about drought-related data sets in Alabama. So I think right now for us at the Climate Office, the best way you can engage with us is on our website, which is updated weekly, or through emailing us, and we're happy to answer questions as needed.
So it sounds like you compile a lot of different information together. It's kind of just one more technical question that kind of popped in my mind as I'm thinking about it. So as you guys integrate different things in there, so beyond just the citizen reports, do you guys use any data, weather stations, or how many, like how frequent are that? So that way we just kind of have a curiosity about that, because I know there's another level of this data too that's coming into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just opened a whole can of worms by asking that question, because we have data coming out our ears over here. When we look at drought specifically, we're really looking at the difference between supply and demand. So supply being precipitation data. First and foremost, we want to know, did it rain in the past week? How much has it rained? Where has it rained? And then how does the rain we got this week compare to the historic normals over the last 30 years? So sometimes we are in drought, but it's a time of year that regularly sees drought. So maybe a month like October. We expect October to be dry. So even though we didn't have rain for the past few weeks, it may not actually be as severe drought as it might feel to some folks, because historically we expect to have that drought that time of year. So we always start with precipitation. That comes from station data across the state, radar-derived data, satellite-derived data. It comes from those Coco Ross rain gauges like we talked about. And then we take a look at the demand. So what moisture has been used in the past week that needs to be replenished by precipitation? So a temperature is a huge one. Of course, those warmer months demand a lot more water out of the surface and out of the air, so we need more precipitation. Temperature is a huge data set for us. We use a lot of satellite vegetation data sets to look at what's currently green, so what's currently growing, what's currently using evapotranspiration across the state. And then we also look at things like soil moisture. We have some gauges that we're working on creating here in the office to make a more robust soil moisture data set across the state. We use USGS stream flow data. We use some really awesome station network data from the University of South Alabama, which has a MesaNet, or that's a weather network. So they have a couple stations that work well together. So yeah, we use data from sensors that are in the ground. We use satellite data. We use radar data. We're really running the gamut on what kind of data we're looking at over here. But I can try to answer more specific questions if you have any on data sets.
So if I'm a grower and I want to see the conditions that are nearby my farm, where would I go to find the nearest weather station to me in Alabama?
Now, that is an excellent question. We have different types of stations in Alabama. And one of the challenges that we even come across at the climate office is that there's not there's not a place currently where all of those stations are cohesively located. Like, there's not a good website or database that has every station. So some stations are owned by NRCS, some stations are owned by universities. You know, it really just depends. So as of right now, at this very moment, if you were a farmer and you were wanting specific station data, I would email the climate office at aosc@uah.edu, and we will help you find the right station for you. But something to look forward to in the future is that we are working as a climate office with partners like the University of South Alabama and the National Weather Service to create that large statewide weather network where people in the public would just go online, they would go to our dashboard, and they would just zoom into their location, and they could just pinpoint spatially which stations are closest to them. So if you do need specific data right now, I would say just email us. But in the coming year or so, we're really hoping to have that weather network dashboard go live.
Yeah, I can see that being extremely helpful. And I guess, so kind of going on that topic, are there any other new tools or upgraded sensors that you're going to be coming out with in the, you know, coming months or years or so to kind of maybe help the reporting or help the inflow of data?
Yeah. So another dashboard actually that we're creating is the Alabama Drought Dashboard. That is in beta testing right now. So it's almost ready for public viewing. And that is specifically for viewing soil moisture data across the state, as well as the lawn and garden moisture index. And the lawn and garden moisture index, which is commonly referred to as the LGI, is a data set that we create in-house here at the Alabama Climate Office. And it looks at precipitation over the last 21 days and how that precipitation is corresponding to short-rooted vegetation health. So we take precipitation over the last 21 days, we rate it on different scales, and then we create a map that is red or green. Green meaning that there is currently enough moisture for shallow-rooted vegetation to be adequately healthy, or red meaning that there is not adequate moisture for the short-rooted vegetation. So that Alabama Drought Dashboard will be going live soon as well. And so that'll be, again, for soil moisture specifically. And then, like I mentioned, we're going to have the larger Alabama Weather Network, or a MESANET as it's technically called. That's going to go live, and that will give everybody a denser view of stations all across the state. And then we are also creating some low-cost soil sensors in-house to make a more robust data set of soil moisture across the state. I mean, I'm sure it's not news to anybody on this podcast either that we have so many different soil types in Alabama, and they all hold water differently, they drain water differently, they all have various characteristics. And so if we can have more soil sensors, we can have more characteristic data, which then makes all of the rest of our drought data more robust. And then I think outside of that, we're just continuing to build partnerships. So ADR has been a huge success for us at the Climate Office. And I think, and I hope for Extension as well, like it has really proved that partnerships between big agencies that have data that the other can use are working and is important. So we're going to continue to work on those relationships and strengthening those in other sectors as well.
Sounds good. Sounds like there's a lot of good new information that's going into building these models. There's also the Great Citizen component to help build out stuff for the CMOR and through the Extension agents doing the U.S. drought monitoring, all the maps and stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, good deal. Thank you, Bree. Thank you, Laura, for being here. Guys, do y'all have any last minute itching questions before we wrap it up?
Make sure to report.
Yes. Yes.
It's easy to do, and don't assume your neighbor's reporting. Just go ahead and submit one.
Yep. That's right, Jacob. We're improving drought literacy. I said it before, I've said it again. I learned a lot about drought literacy here today. So awesome, guys. Well, thank y'all so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you all again for listening to this episode of the Alabama Crops Report podcast.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.